Galatians chapter 3. I want to talk to you about people that are confused. In Galatians chapter 3, he says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth and crucified among you." It is apparent that there were some Galatians that were actually there at the crucifixion and witnessed it all and understood the truth of what Paul heard later. "This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Those are rhetorical questions. There's only one answer to that. He's mocking them almost a little bit. "You receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Now, you understand these people had the gift of the Spirit, the Galatians. They're in that first group who first trusted Christ. You got it? Paul gets saved. You got the, really, there's a debate which letter got written first. I'm just going to put them in order, actually. The Roman, the 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, the first Ephesians, and not when he wrote the book, but the first people he visited, and Thessalonica, 1st and 2nd. Those books all have Jewish things in. Why?
He went to the Jews first.
He was going to the Jew first. And during this period of time, when these people got this, they got the Holy Spirit. They could do those things. And he's basically saying, and I want you to understand, people got the Spirit without doing anything but believing. And they got this Spirit, and he's asking, did you get it by the works of the law or by hearing, by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? The idea that the flesh is doing something in order to gain it. You got it? The idea of the flesh here is the works of humanity. And today, Christians are confused. Why? They think Christianity is something they're doing. They're trying to be made perfect in the flesh. Well, guys, you're made perfect in Christ. The moment you trusted Jesus Christ, you were complete. And so, you got to say, well, what am I lacking? Well, you're not lacking anything. But sometimes when we start looking in the mirror, you're thinking, well, I'm not doing enough, or I'm not doing this, or I'm not doing that. It isn't about you at all. Now, you understand the service you do to this church is important. It helps. I mean, we can't preach the gospel without money coming in. We can't preach the gospel without you working on the piano and soundboard and the cameras and whatever. You got it? It can't be done. And the realization is that all of that is understanding. But that doesn't make you perfect. What made you perfect was being in Christ. What made you acceptable is being in the Lord. It isn't these works that are going to be acceptable. In fact, I like how he words this in 1 Corinthians. Hold on here, we're going to come back. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, talking about the judgment seat and, you know, all that kind of thing. Now, I'm fascinated by this because there's some wording in here that is unique. Now, there are a lot of people that believe they're believers because of the works they're doing. And they run to James, and we're going to go to James too, that, hey, you want to see my faith? Look at my works. Well, the works he's talking about, you couldn't perform anyway. You don't have the option or the unction to be able to do those kind of things. I mean, anything Jesus Christ did, they could do as well. And I can't see, you know, and I'm going to explain the works idea in just a minute. I just want you to understand that a lot of people think, well, I'm a Christian because look at all the works I've done. Skip this for just a minute. Go to Matthew. I think that's where I want to go. Now, this is fascinating to me. Matthew 7. Verse 21. Matthew 7, 21. Now watch this. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, they're doing some works too. Go to Mark 16. Their works that are involved here is clear. It isn't just one thing they could do. It wasn't taking up serpents and any deadly thing. It will not. Yeah, it wasn't that alone. Cast out devils. This is what it said in verse 16. Mark 15, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, and on and on. It wasn't one or two of those. Once you had the power, you had the ability to do all the works that God wanted you to do. Y'all understand? It wasn't like you got just one little bit that, oh, okay, wait over here, can speak in tongues, and oh, this person got, and that's how they're doing it today. You notice that, don't you? You know, oh, this person can heal, and oh, that person over there. Well, no, that's not the way it worked. Every believer had the ability to do the work. Even in Paul's first part of his ministry, during these books, guess what are there? Signs. They're doing signs. And it was important that they did these signs because it was the proof work that they were in Christ. There were some people out there speaking in tongues and doing this, but they weren't doing it all. These people could do them all. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay, if you guys want to get me to wear a coat, we got to get a fan in here, I'm telling you. I'm just telling you, it's hot. Not hot as hell, but hot. I just don't understand why going in summer. Now, wait, I want an explanation on this. I understand looking good for the Lord. I understand all that. But, you know, I got to think in my mind that God's looking down at us wearing jackets in the summer and saying, you're an idiot! Oh, your wife loves it. Do whatever your wife pleases your wife. I'm telling you, you will stay happily married for years. But you know what I mean? Think about it. Do they not get it down there? It's 110. Yes, Lord, I do, but I'm suffering for your sake.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay, I thought it was funnier than it was.
It's 67 degrees out here in the audience, so.
Yeah, but I'm up and I'm in the light.
It's the light behind you. Be glad you're not bothered. It burns the top of your head.
You've been sunburned, haven't you? Some of the bald ones get sunburned up here. It's terrible. Verse 12. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Did Paul do all the signs?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, he was involved. So go back to Galatians. chapter 3. Verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Well, they knew that it wasn't anything they did. Amen? And yet, you know, this battle in Galatians is exactly what's happening in the church today. People get saved and they get all wrapped up in the religious stuff and they do all this religious stuff. I try to take all the religious stuff out. And I know that's frustrating. But when you start taking religious stuff out, people get all kinds of freaked out. They say, well, we want to look a little bit like a church. How much do we want to look like one? You know? You see, I mean, there's an evolution that happens that you start thinking, man, we're really doing the work. Well, the work isn't how we look or act or function. It's the work is winning people to the Lord that matters. And these people were confused a little bit. And Paul was confused about their faith as well. You say, well, you know, these people obviously had a battle going on about the truth. And about the law and whatever. And I know that by Galatians chapter 5. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. He's trying to tell them what to do. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Well, what do you think that yoke of bondage is? The laws and the works of the laws and the work of the temple and those kind of things. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you what? And what he's basically saying is if you're trusting your circumcision because you're Abraham's seed, you ain't got it. That has nothing to do with salvation by grace through faith. That has nothing to do with the finished work of Calvary's cross. You're saying it's mine because I'm an heir. It's like people saying I got saved because I got baptized. Or I got saved because I walked the aisle for Jesus. No, you didn't. If you got saved, you got saved because Christ died on that cross 2,000 years ago. That's why you're saved. You're not saved of yourself. Say, well, I joined the church. Well, that doesn't count. None of that counts. He says, I testify to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Now listen, whosoever you are justified by the law, ye have fallen from grace. I mean, obviously these Galatians wanted to get back under there, and Paul really stood in doubt of these people. Look back in Galatians chapter 4. He's trying to set them straight, but these Galatians are trying to get back under the law, trying to do the works of the law, trying to be Joe Christian, and those are the people we're talking about that start their lives, you know, and they're living like hell on earth, and they get saved, and a lot of people up in Kentucky are battling this battle now, but after you're saved, you have to live a good life. I mean, that's what the Mennonites were teaching, are trying to express on their blogs and stuff, to these gentlemen that just got saved. Well, now you got to do a work. Well, there are some work you should be doing. But the work isn't the law. The work is spreading the gospel. The work is getting the message out. The work is teaching others also. The work has nothing to do with you going back under the law. In fact, he lays this thing out pretty incredibly. Verse 16, Galatians 4. 16, he says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you. That is the legalists, the work people. They zealously affect you, but not well, not for the good. They would exclude you that you might affect them. They don't want to walk in liberty. You know why? Listen. One of the things I know for a fact, and this is, I've learned this just recently in the ministry, It's harder to walk in grace than it is to walk under the law. These guys up there, they're like, man, you know, it's tough. Well, you just hang with faith. Faith is the issue, guys. That's why we went over faith a lot the last couple weeks, you know, because faith is the issue. Your faith is all that matters. It's all that it considers. And out of your faith will be established the truth of this book. And Paul's expressing to him, look, why are you running around trying to be perfected by the law when you're already perfected in Christ? Now, you know I don't celebrate Christmas, right? And I know that just freaks people out. Boy, it's the holiest time of the world. But really, it's not. And everything that's being taught at Christmas is actually kind of taught in Scripture. Jamar's like, jaw dropped. What? Man, they're like, man, that just ruined this for me. It didn't ruin it for you? Oh, praise the Lord. Shouldn't have ruined it for anybody. But I mean, you know anybody who is a king of the earth and he wears royal colors, you know, scarlet and white? You know? And he's omnipresent. I'll give you the song. He knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you are good or bad. So be good for goodness sake. That whole message is part of the legalism that was drawn out of these books to put people out of grace into works. If you're good, you get what?
Rewards.
And if you're bad?
Switches and ashes.
Switches and coals. You know? Well, what are they teaching you?
Works.
They're doing works. And I just don't see how lying to a kid about Santa Claus is godly. That's kind of weird. Now, I mean, it was okay when we had a chimney place because we thought, you know, my dad told us Santa came down the chimney. We went to Southern California and they don't have chimneys. And we were like, Dad, how is Santa going to get in? You know what? He just lied some more. He said he was going to slide under the door. That big old fat guy? No way! I was 11 years old. I'm like, there's something wrong with this. Are you telling us the truth? Oh, yes. That would be a thief. He snuck in that door. I mean, all of it was a fable. But it was all oriented about you doing good. Well, the good news of Christ today is you don't have to do good. He did good for you. He was the replacement for you. I don't know what Rhoda was doing up in Kentucky. She was studying Leviticus 16. Who studies Leviticus 16? But she was studying Leviticus 16 about the scapegoat. Well, one gets slaughtered and the other one gets set free. Guess who got set free? You did. You didn't have to take it, but one took it for you. And you know, when you really start to think about all the things we do in our society, it points to you trying to do good and be good. Listen, I'm all for a moral society. I want a splendid pagan on left and right of me. You know what I mean? I want some people that are at least that. But people put their confidence into these works for their salvation, and it confuses little kids when they get saved and young people. They think because they did a work that God's doing it for them. And that's not the case at all. Galatians chapter 4. Now watch this. They would exclude you that you might affect them. They won't get with you with the Bible. I tried to get with some of these guys that were doing Leonard and called them up and said, hey, let's meet with the Bible. And they said, we'll meet, but don't bring the Bible. You know why? They know that I was going to affect them. So what do? Don't meet with me. Keep an arm's distance away. But he said, it's good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and change my voice. He was sarcastic. For I do what? Stand in doubt of you. Tell me that ye desire to be under the law? Do you not hear the law? And why would he say that? Because the works of the law was very clearly defined in 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. Oh, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. Talking about the law. Look at this. But if the ministration of death written and engraved in stone was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away with, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? And it's really the same information he's giving in Galatians chapter 3. Are you made perfect by the works of the flesh or by the hearing of faith? Verse 9. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, that's the law, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. See, you have two basic elements here. You have on one side the works which is of the law, and on the other side, the hearing of faith. Well, most of us were raised over here and given some elements. Now, Christy was raised in a grace home, and some of Bill Brown wasn't and stuff. But I was raised in a Methodist home. We believed God was going to put our good on one side and our bad on the other and weigh it out. That's what I believed. And when you think about the works, everything that was oriented in our society was toward these works over here. When you finally hear that it's the finished work of Calvary, man, you get started in that, and guess what all your friends say? Well, yeah, but now you got to get back under the law. And that's why in Romans chapter 8, look at this. In Romans chapter 8, it words it this way. I love Romans chapter 8 because everybody just quotes the first part of the verse. They don't really quote the second part. Verse 1, he says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And they quit there. You got that? They quit there. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, if you start walking in the flesh, guess what you're going to try to do? Yeah, you're going to do the law and do the works. And all of a sudden, there could come in time when you doubt things. You understand? Why? You're trusting your flesh, and what do we know about the flesh? It's no good. It's going to eventually fall. There is nobody that can sustain goodness long enough in order to get in. Say, okay, I believe here, and you got to sustain that without any error. There ain't anybody that can do that. That's what Galatians chapter 2, verse 21 is all about. You see, but if you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to feel condemnation. Why? You know, by the Word of God that it's done. It's like, I'm not doing a good job up here. I got it in my head. I'm not getting it out of my mouth. What honor... Go to Hebrews. Let me tie this back into faith how I'm seeing it. I'm sorry for...
You're doing good.
Well, I'm not. I'm not getting out what I'm wanting in my head. And I hate that. Huh? Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. But I want to express to you that What God's hip on is when you don't do anything. God digs that. He believes me. But as soon as you start doing things, God's going, well, I'm not sure you believe me. You understand what I'm saying? And it's like asking for forgiveness. We talked about that a little bit. You know, we've had people, you know, if you're sitting there asking for forgiveness after you're saved, you know what you're really saying, God? I'm not really forgiven. You see, by doing that, you dishonor the Lord. You dishonor all the work that He's provided. It gives no glory to Him. All the glory becomes yours. And you know what? Ultimately, you're going to fail. And you're going to find yourself in this human mode, stuck out there. And you're going, well, what do I do now?
Barry, it's kind of like reading about a city, but never visiting that city. And you're trying to convince somebody you've been to that city. Is that kind of...
Yeah, absolutely. I mean... It is so hard. And so I listen to people talk. And listen, I'm not the guy you have to convince. You have to be convinced. It isn't about me. It's about you, where you are. In Hebrews, look at this. Verse 6. Hebrews 11. I thought since I mentioned faith, that would just ring a bell. You're already there in Hebrews 11, aren't you? Jamar's my man. I think he'll become the assistant pastor.
He's got him a real Bible now.
He's got a man Bible instead of that little girly thing he had. I'm glad. I was a little worried about him there for a little bit, you know. I'm teasing. I can tease Jamar. Listen, see how Jamar's sitting on the front row? That's a good student. See how Christy's sitting? Good student. One sit, wait. Oh, Alan.
We've got to get him a Bible pen. I don't see any writing in his Bible at this point.
Well, he's afraid to write. I can understand. Such a nice new Bible.
Yeah,
you'll want to mark it up. Verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You got it? God's honored by your faith. God's honored. And listen, if He said salvation is by the cross and raising your right foot, then this is what you'd be doing all day. You got it? But He said to him that worketh not, but believeth. Him that worketh not. You got it? So any works that you do, guess what you're doing? You're dishonoring God and not believing. And ultimately those works are going to create doubts in your mind because you're trusting yourself instead of the finished work of Calvary. I was talking to one of the brethren after Wednesday and he came up to me and he said this. He said, I get under conviction every time you talk about a date. Not good. So I asked him some questions, and he said, well, I believe all that. Well, you can believe things intellectually and not believe it with your heart. Not trusting it. And I said, okay, I'll give you an illustration. And so I'm going to give you the illustration I gave, because I want to be convinced in your mind that you understand. I show you, I go to Dan Young, and I bet you Dan would appreciate this. I would come to Dan Young, and I have a suitcase with $1 million in it. And I said, brother, this is your $1 million. I'm going to put it in your account, if you'll believe me. And man, yeah, I believe you. So I put the $1 million. He gets his statement, and there is $1 million in his account. You think he would doubt there's $1 million in his account? You think he'd go around saying, I'm not sure what happened that day. It's kind of vague. I'm kind of iffy when that happened. I don't know when that really happened. Do you think he'd go around like that? And yet they get eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. And I'm like, I don't know when that happened. Hello?
May not have happened.
He said, well, I don't know. I told him, you're lost. You know why? Look, I remember. You may not remember the D-A-T-E. But you ought to remember the moment you got a Savior.
Amen.
And eternal life. I'm just telling you, there ought not to be any confusion. Ought to be able to go, I remember that day. I know where I was sitting, what I was doing, what I was thinking. I know. And I got to tell you some of the testimonies that were here Wednesday. You know? Yikes! You understand? Did anyone else feel that way? Listen, it isn't about a testimony of your life and what's happening in your life. When was there a testimony of your salvation that you know you were saved? And then stand on it. Get up and testify to that. Go tell people, you know what, if you really got that, what do you think Dan Young would go around saying, Barry gave me $1 million. Can you believe that? How many here has bought a new car? What do you do with it?
Show it off.
You go show it to your friends. You go to Tony and you buy that new Toyota Brave 4, you know, awesome looking car. And I saw when he got it here, there's some people want to see his new car. And I said, it isn't his, it's Deborah's. But I saw people going out and looking at it. I haven't even got to see it yet, but I want to see it. It's like, you think she remembers when she bought that? Every month she makes that payment, she'll know. Y'all understand what I'm saying? She knows when she bought that. There's no doubt. And the first thing you do, someone says, well, I've been saved, and I never see them witness. Guess what? Start to wonder why. What's up with that? How come they ain't witnessing? How come they don't testify of the truth? How come I hear something out of their mouth different than what they're telling me intellectually is in their head? Say, well, how does it work? Well, go to 1 Corinthians 15 for a minute. This is interesting. All right, I got to take this jacket off. This is ridiculous. I'm so hot, it's ridiculous. Whew. I'm going to need...
Next thing you want to do is take the choker off.
No. Yes. I'm lying. You know what I think neckties are good for? For wives to lead their husbands. That's why Diane likes it. Maybe I know who leads that family. You have a dog? No. Mia leads our family. I trust you. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2. Now watch this. See, the problem is people can believe for whatever reason, but they believe in vain. And they believe without a cause. And Jan Wilburn did one of the best messages I've ever heard about believing in vain I've ever heard. Verse 2. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. So could people believe in vain?
Yes. Amen.
And the word vain, what does that mean? It's worthless. Without a cause. That is, they didn't really believe they were needing a Savior. So why believe? They believed to get along with the group. Well, when I got saved, I didn't want to belong to the group. I didn't want to go to hell. You see the difference? It wasn't that I wanted to be a member of a church. I didn't want to drop off and go to hell. So I trusted the Lord because I thought I was going to hell. And so Stan, bless his heart, one of the things he says and was really right is not when did you get saved, when did you get lost? You get lost enough, you'll get saved. And the saving part is easy. It's getting lost that's a little difficult. You understand what I'm saying? People believe in vain. People have been doing it for years. I believed that Jesus Christ died on the cross before I got saved. How many believed that before they got saved?
Amen.
Everybody here. You were believing in vain. No results was going to come out of it. Your belief was going to ultimately end you in hell because you believed in vain. But when you finally understood the whole cross deal and you got it in your mind, you got to first hear the gospel, amen? Now, that's a fascinating thing too, right? I've had people come to me and say this. I'm not kidding you. I got saved right here. And I approached them here, and I know that they were lost there. You understand what I'm saying? So I talk to them, and then their life goes on the way, and they testify again. But now they're testifying of a time back here when they were 9 to 15. And I'm like, hold it. You had no clue what the gospel is. How is it that you believe in a gospel you've not heard any more than you can go back to a place you've never been? Y'all understand? You say, well, I believe. Well, yeah, but did you believe the gospel? No, you believe something. What did you believe before, Gene, before you got saved?
That Jesus died on the cross for me, but I had to confess my sins and ask for forgiveness.
That's what she believed. That was all back here. When I got to her, she wasn't testifying of the finished work. She was confessing her sins and doing all that. So guess what I thought of Miss Jean?
She's lost.
She's probably lost. Hey, then when she got the gospel, now what would you say it is?
I am complete, totally in Jesus. I don't have to ask for forgiveness for my sins because He did it already on Calvary.
You got it? There's a difference in the belief from what she started with to what she ended up with. It isn't the same. Say, well, you go to Sunday school. Well, you can teach about Noah and Daniel in the lion's den, and you can teach all that, and you know what? That you can get out ignorant still. Amen? You can teach about Noah, and you can teach about the elephants going on to the ark and the... Amen? And the Gerverfes. You know, those guys, you can teach all that. And you know what ultimately ends up? A lost believer. A person believing in vain. You say, well, do I believe in Jesus? Absolutely. Well, is it time already?
It's 45.
All right. I'm done. Take a 15-minute break.